After 6 long months of waiting, the NFL preseason is finally here. 65 games of hard-hitting
Not gonna have this bullshit.
Now is the time we finally get to see what these teams are made of as they buckle up those chin straps and face each other across the line of scrimmage, prepared to do battle for the world championship.
Shut it. I just don't want to hear it.
But Tom...
Jobs are on the line, and we finally get an up-close and hard-hitting look into what the season may hold. When the starters will play the starters, we will see just how the offense and defense are shaping up as these long...
Stop it!
All right, well, let's just hope nobody gets hurt.
Right!
Hum, hum!
Bang Radio.
I am very happy to be here!
Let's stop it!
You like that?
Once you go deck, you don't go back.
Deck.
He's Jesus, bro! Bang.
You know, we know what we're capable of. You know, have we shown it to the world yet? I don't think we have.
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
Hold on. With Scrumble?
This is football!
Maybe there's a chance.
And now, here's John and Tom.
On third down at the 15 of Carolina, Watson in the gun, gets the snap. Watson looking, Watson scrambling to the right, Watson running across the 10, the 5, Watson to the end zone. Touchdown, Texans. Deshaun Watson, 15-yard TD run. Welcome to the NFL.
And the preseason is underway.
Yeah, it is, John. And I tell you what, these Texans fans, man, they need to just calm down.
Wait a minute. Yeah, that's right. You just spent the last 5 minutes telling me to calm down.
Well, I mean, they're ready to crown this guy, you know, God. I mean,
of course they are.
It was a 15-yard touchdown run, folks. Calm down over here.
Hey, you know what? Here's what I can tell you guys in Houston. Just better hope that you get to play Cincinnati in the playoffs again, and everything will be hunky-dory.
Right.
At least for one round, anyway.
Oh, my gosh. Man, it feels good to be back. It feels like we've been gone too long because we missed July. And honestly, there was – John, we talked about this. We said we're going to do this certain number show coming up. I can't say it because we have to let somebody else say it. But we're going to do this certain number show. And right now in July, there was nothing. Training camps hadn't started yet. There was nothing worthy for this show number.
Right. That's right. So we decided to do a best of which it was a good one, by the way.
Wasn't that? See what happens when I go back and listen to all our old shows.
You know, the thing about that best of is there was absolutely only one thing in it that had any football relation at all.
Well, it was July, and there was nothing going on in football.
But it had my two favorite stories, and both of them are Al Roker. Al Roker poops his pants at the White House, and, you know, Al Roker goes to a steam bath.
Right, yeah. All right.
Oh, my God.
So that we can say the number, let's do this.
What's up, guys? It's Tillyard here, and you are all listening to Bang Radio R number 300.
This is Sparta!
Yeah, congratulations, guys, on 300 shows. That's quite an accomplishment. And also, very nearly 12 years of this show as well. Yeah, so you guys are all looking forward to the 2017 season, hoping your team's going to be the one holding up that Lombardi Trophy in Minnesota.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Yeah, I know I am. Definitely very hopeful about my team this season. It's also been quite an eventful year for me in general. I've been an uncle for just over a year now, yeah. Little Penny is just learning how to walk, and I'm sure she'll live a long and fulfilling life and probably pass away around the age of 90. And you know what? When that finally does happen, the Eagles probably still won't have won a Super Bowl.
Oh! Oh, jeez. taking a swipe at Philadelphia from all the way over in Harrogate.
I love it. I'm like, wow, where's he going with this? He's been an uncle for a year, and he's telling us how long the kid's going to live, and he had a great joke at the end.
Well, if Penny's just now learning how to walk, the Cowboys could probably use him because they need a running back.
All right. Hold on. We'll get to that.
Why, I like it when Tilliard opens the show. It's like a touch of class.
It is, man. Thank you. Thank you very much, John. That was really nice, man. I was glad. I'm glad to hear you were going to do that for us. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah. I've got my pinky out now because I feel I have to.
All right. Before we do anything else, the Pigskin Pick'em League and the Survival League on ESPN's fantasy football section are up and running.
Yeah. Go play.
Yeah.
All of you. Yeah. It never goes away. Shit just never goes away. When you've got 13 years under your belt, we've got a freaking drop for just about everything.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah!
So, yeah, you got to go over to ESPN's Fantasy Pigskin Pick'em, I believe, is Bang Radio Hour 2017. Just look it up and put your name in there. Remember, if you have a clever name, we like it. We like it a lot. We'll read it on the show. And if you win, we'll have fabulous prizes.
Are we doing something besides your toenail this year?
Dude, I tell you what, I had a small outbreak of back acne about a month ago.
Oh, no, stop.
So I saved every little bit of stuff that came out of
quit
there.
Quit it. And quit it.
Some lucky right. listener.
That's just all right, ridiculous. No, just come on now.
I'm sorry.
This is a family show.
Really? No, we do. We have a wonderful prize for you this year, and it's not one of my toenails.
Fingernail?
No, I'm not going to. I have an old Band-Aid that I found.
Oh, my God. Stop. All right, coming up, Ray Lewis be preaching.
He be preaching.
Carson Wentz fans be crying.
They be crying.
Manning be joking.
He be joking.
Eddie Lacy be bonusing.
He be bonusing.
And ponies be porning.
I ain't even saying that. Didn't we do that on one of our first shows about the ponies porning some guy up in Washington State?
Did we?
I think so. I think we talked about that dude that got killed by a horse. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. It perforated his colon.
Yeah, I would say so. It's a horse.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. So,
yeah.
I wish, man, why couldn't we have recorded this show yesterday so I didn't have to talk about this? Damn it.
Well, you know, it's the way the football gods work.
All right. So, this just happened today. The NFL has suspended Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott 6 games for violating the league's personal conduct policy. A source informed of the situation told NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. Now, this investigation into the domestic violence accusation has been going on for over a year. By his then girlfriend Tiffany Thompson. Zeke denied it and has still denied it. And of course, he can appeal. He has until like Tuesday to appeal. And that means if he doesn't, he serves the 6-game suspension. He will play October 29th against the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot for that, Roger Goodell. One more week would have been just fine by me. But I'll tell you what, Tom, honestly, it's about time. He's a menace to society. He really is.
Well, Todd Jones, the NFL special counsel for conduct, said said that they have their independent advisors who reviewed the evidence gathered by the league's probe.
For a year.
Right. They were of the view that there is substantial and persuasive evidence supporting a finding that Elliott engaged in physical violence against Ms. Thompson on multiple occasions during the week of July 16th, 2016. Ultimately, the decision to suspend Elliott was made by Roger Goodell. Robert Tobias is the principal assistant city attorney right here in Columbus where I live. And he said, given the totality of the circumstances, I could not firmly conclude exactly what happened. Saying something happened versus having sufficient evidence to criminally charge someone are two completely different things. But he also told them that he believed that Zeke did get physical with her. He just couldn't prove it. He had no evidence, so that's why they didn't press any charges. Now, the NFL The NFL digs deeper than just that one day. They dug into the whole week. They talked to a lot of people about other stuff that went on that week, evidently, and they found something. And if he's guilty, he's guilty. He deserves the six games. And he's lucky that when they changed that policy after what Ray Rice did, it wasn't more. And if he does it again, it's a lifetime ban.
Well, now, what about this punter? Wasn't it the punter of the Colts or somebody that
Giants
beat his wife or the Giants or some shit?
Kicker. The kicker for the Giants.
Kicker. Yeah, it doesn't make any difference. The dude's a freaking Giant.
We talked about this last year, and we talked about the NFL's investigation, and, you know, we made fun of it. Oh, they're on the case. They are deep in it, you know, and all of that.
Right.
Well, so this all came out last July. The first time they talked to Zeke was October.
Right.
And the second time.
Well, you got to have time to cool down. You
know? The second
time. She was being a bitch.
The second time they talked to him was last month.
Now look here, Zeke. We just want to talk to you about that week you were beating up your girlfriend. We don't want to talk to you about when you pulled that girl's top down on that float in that parade. And we don't want to talk to you about that fight you were in a bar about a month ago. We'll get to those next year.
Well, they knew he didn't get in the fight, and there was nothing really to talk about when it came to the girl. They did mention that was definitely conduct unbecoming. And
well, here's the thing. Anybody that wants to pretend that girl's a victim, shut the hell up. Just shut up.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. The clip that they put up all over the place just shows him lifting it. If you watch the whole thing, she then lifts up the top herself.
No shit, she's covered in beads. For God's sakes, does anybody not know how they get them?
Zeke was just trying to get her another necklace. He didn't mean anything disrespectful by it. He was trying to get the girl more jewelry. Not. He was trying to get her more bling. Come on.
They're just mammalian protuberances. Grow up, people.
All right, so you know we had to talk about this,
and you know the NFL does hate the Cowboys, Tom.
Well, that aside, so deal with it, fantasy owners, deal with it. Everybody's gonna have to deal with it. The Cowboys gonna have to deal with it. You know, we're gonna have to have
McFadden, is it
McFadden and your boy that we got from you guys?
That's right, Alfred Morris. You're lucky you have him now because that dude can play.
Well, I tried telling you that, and you went, oh, yeah, right, just wait.
Well, he can't catch. He can't catch. Okay. And I don't know how much more he can do right now since he's not really played for a year. So, but, you know, he looked good in your preseason game the other night because we all know preseason's awesome.
Right. It doesn't mean shit. Elliott and the NFL Players Association turned over phone records and documents related to the case back in May. And I only want to mention one more thing about the Cowboys because – from what I understood, the feedback we got, we were a little NFC East heavy last year, John.
Just last year? What the hell have you people been? Jesus Christ.
We always do talk about the NFC East, but we do usually give a lot more attention to the rest of the league, and we really didn't do that a lot last year, and we usually do. I just wanted to mention one more thing with the Cowboys, just because we're on the topic. Jane Slater from the NFL Network, she was reporting yesterday on a player's back injury. Look at that. I don't even have to say it was about the Cowboys. It's just an NFL player's back injury. How's that? There.
I can tell you this right now. If it was on NFL Network, it's like an 80% probability it was about the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's Tyron Smith. So Tyron Smith has a bulging disc. So great. So he's got a bulging disc. Zeke's out six games. I can't even get to fucking September and my season's over, John. All right, so... Well, they do this every time. They follow up a good season with a bad season. It's what they do. Anyway, so she's reporting on Tyron Smith's bulging disc.
You'll remember last year he was dealing with a bulging disc issue, rather, in his lower back.
That's a whole separate problem.
It is, and I've understood that that's been a problem in the NFL for quite some time now.
Bulging disc.
No.
Look, it was a Cowboys lineman, so she's probably got it right. And, I mean, seriously, Tom, if Hard Knocks has taught me anything, it's that guys stick things in guys' assholes in the NFL. It's part of the game.
Bulging dick.
So I wanted to let you – I don't know if you need to vent. I think everybody knows you're probably pissed off. They didn't get a deal done with Kirk Cousins, and now he's gonna play this season, and he's going to stay healthy, and he's going to get paid. Very well. Very, very well.
Yeah, he's going to get paid very well no matter what he does.
Well, he's already getting paid very, very well. He's already gotten $44 million from the Redskins. Now, a lot of players would kill to get $44 million guaranteed to them, and now he gets how much for this year?
Yeah, something like 26.
Okay, 24. So he's going up to $70 million in 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's
ridiculous
set.
How well
he's set. He is, and then he's going to get a monster contract.
Right. Well, the thing about me right now is I'm more angry that our defensive end, one of our starting defensive ends who was going to sit down for four games for PEDs, Trent Murphy's out for the season with an ACL and MCL. Like the fourth play of the game.
The Buckeye linebacker. Raekwon McMillan. He's out for the year, man. His rookie year. And he's great. He would have been. Oh, Jesus, that hurts.
Oh, he's out for the season?
That's what I thought. I read.
Ah, damn. See, I was watching that game when he got hurt, and I knew that they had given him the starting middle linebacker job. They really liked him and everything like that. Look, I tell you what. They're not allowed to hit each other in camp. Right, we know this now. They're not allowed to hit each other in camp, and we see that there are teams that do hit each other in camp, like Seattle and like New England, and we see how well they dominate when they come out of the frickin' shoots. They frickin' win right off the bat. And everybody else, I don't see what it's helping, Tom. Like, we had that conversation last year about all the rules to help the quarterbacks. They still get fucking hurt. We still have quarterbacks. Tannehill is gone, and nobody even touched him.
Right. Well, we've seen it before. We've seen it happens all the time.
Camps, they all they do now is get hurt. All right, and now they get hurt in preseason games over nothing, it seems, because of they don't have any contact. It's aggravating. These rules have fucked up the game, as we all know.
Well,
fuck
John,
off, Roger Goodell.
Hey, wait, no, yes, Roger Goodell to the rescue for you, John.
To the rescue.
Yes, yes. We are going to have an implementation in the NFL, 21-24. Full-time officials.
Well, goddamn right.
The process of selecting them will begin immediately.
Now, the NFLRA, that's not the National Football League Rifle Association, is it?
It's the Referees Association.
I say. Those sons of bitches, as blind as half of them are, the last thing I want them having is a gun. I like how they say that the process of selecting them will begin immediately. When the fuck it will end, nobody knows.
Right.
And frankly, immediately is in, like, it should have been done 20 years ago.
I mean, my God, they talked to Zeke twice in 1 year. I mean, how long is it going to take them to do this?
Right, to determine whether or not he threw maybe five or six punches. I mean, if they had no physical evidence, I can't think that it was, I'm not going to say it wasn't a physical altercation. But, I mean, shit, if they talk about things over a week, a black eye isn't going to go away. A fat lip isn't going to go away.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, what the...
Yeah, I know. Oh, and we talked about this. I think it was the last show. Eddie Lacy.
Yes.
He got a weigh-in bonus, remember? Because he had to be 255 pounds or less. That was 2 months ago.
Right. Fat check. Fat check.
Yeah. And he got a $55,000 bonus.
All right, so you made it?
Well, yeah, he was. Remember, he came in at 253 pounds, I think it was.
Right, right.
And it's like, okay, 253 pounds.
Ugh, look at how fat you are.
Right, Stewie.
He has to lose 3 pounds in 6 weeks.
You disgust me.
And he gets $55,000?
You disgust me.
55 grand to lose 3 pounds in 6 weeks?
Yeah, so that was his new weigh-in. His new weigh-in requirement was 250 or less this past week, and he, what did he say? It was 248. He got another $55,000.
He got $11,000 per pound.
Right.
Holy shit. They should sell it. They should just put a lipo machine on that motherfucker and sell it. There's got to be at least $5 or $6 million worth of goddamn flab on him.
Right. That's funny.
$11,000 a pound. Holy shit, you want to motivate me to lose some weight? I'll damn sure do it. Hey, Jenny Craig, start passing out the checks.
Oh, man.
55 grand for 5 pounds.
Well, this guy doesn't have a team right now, so I can't really talk about another team, but we can talk about the quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, who needs a job, and he should have a job. This is ridiculous that somebody of his caliber is not on an NFL roster, man. Boy, did he just commit career suicide? I mean, I don't know. Is anybody going to give this guy a chance?
Well, I don't know, man. See, because I kind of look at it from a football perspective. He has not translated well to a stand-up quarterback.
All right, the traditional style of quarterback.
He won games, and when he came back and played last year, would he come back from two different surgeries to play the last five games of the year on that shitty team? Who knows anything from that? Let him play healthy now with a team and see. I just think it's crazy.
Well, I think that from a football standpoint, when you look at the teams that needed a backup, how much do you have to change a playbook to accommodate him? And when you look at the teams lately, like Baltimore, that had all of a sudden they got a problem with Flacco, and Miami, he doesn't fit either one of them. And frankly, in Miami, with all his talk about Fidel Castro, there's no fucking way they're touching him.
I don't believe that he can't walk onto a team and pick up the offense and also add his legs as a weapon.
I don't know.
I think that's crazy.
I don't know.
Well, as far as him being any kind of a problem for the 49ers when he was on the team last year, listen to the head coach, Chip Kelly.
When you're not there, it's easy to speculate on what it's like, but he is zero distraction. I like Cap a lot. He's a really good person, and he really wants to win, and he's highly competitive. And I also don't think he played at his top level last year because he was coming off of three surgeries. So, you know, I think the Cap this year will be better than the Cap last year.
So that's his coach.
Wait a minute. All I heard was circus music and a clown horn.
What? Why?
You said this is Chip Kelly, and that's all I heard. Wait a minute. I hope the listeners aren't catching that.
Hey, you leave Chip alone. That guy right there, you know what he is? He's a young Andy Reid. Come on now.
Oh, he is. In other words, he's got a few bypasses to go.
You want to get to where I am, buddy, you got to start eating those sub sandwiches the moment you get out of bed.
Look, I believe him. I believe him. I don't think Kaepernick did any of what he did for his own personal attention as much as cynical as I am. I just don't think so. I think he did a good thing for himself and for a cause he believes in. He's put up almost $800,000 of his own goddamn money, so everybody else can just shut the fuck up. But, look, regardless of what anybody wants to say, dude, he's going to bring the circus with him because everybody has to have their opinion. So that means every fucking media clown that there is never going to leave it alone.
Well, yeah.
So that's why he's not really working.
Probably so. Well, Ray Lewis has a message for Colin Kaepernick.
How crazy is I'm just leaving set at Fox and got all of these texts and stuff about all of this Colin Kaepernick stuff and all this stuff. Let me explain something to you guys. I'm going to be very simple with this. While a bunch of people are talking about this man, Cap, let me tell you something, brother. I pray for you more than you've ever can imagine.
Ever can you can imagine.
God is absolutely amazing.
Right.
I pray for you more than I can even say. Trust me, it got stuck right on my tongue. The Lord said, no, that ain't how much you praying for him. You praying for him this much.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Right. All right, let's continue.
All right, your name is in my Bible. That God gives you the vision that you did. I applaud you for the things that you stood up for. My brother, everybody else can speak for you, but until you speak for yourself and demand what you want to do in life, it's totally on you. But it's almost crazy that you see people always trying to respond. Let me tell you something, my man. The battles you fighting, brother, people way before has been fighting these for many, many, many years. And that's why I take each and every one of these kids, and that's why I take them away from their environments and give them something else to see in life. And that's why I played the way I played. The football field is our sanctuary. If you do nothing else, young man, get back on the football field and let your play speak for itself.
And what you
do off the field, don't let too many people know, because they're going to judge you anyway, no matter what you do, no matter if it's good or bad. All right? Cap, be good. Take care of yourself. Brother for life. A lot of people talking for you. A lot of people got your back. Take care of yourself. Peace.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why I take these kids, Tom.
Is that why?
I take them away from their environment. I take them to my special place. I tell them I'm going to give them candy, but then I don't. Colin, your name is in my Bible. In fact, it might even be your Bible. I might have stole it during the blackout at the Super Bowl. only reason I can think that why your name be in there. Doesn't his speech sounds like the same one he gave to those kids?
Yes, sir.
At that elementary school.
That's why we study school. That's why we go to grades, to make good grades.
Right.
So if I fail, we all fail.
Yes.
That's how I prepare on the field. He said the same thing.
I know.
Our field is our sanctuary. Sanctuary. Ray the Hunchback. Sanctuary.
Oh, that's great.
Trust me, if it hadn't been for the football field, my ass would be in jail for conspiracy to commit murder. Sanctuary.
Okay, so Carson Wentz.
Of course, the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback.
Yeah, I did want to add, though, if Kaepernick wants to come to Dallas and be a backup, I'm all for it, man. That would be fantastic, but it's Texas, so I doubt that's going to happen.
Yeah, I doubt that's going to. See, that's where the Ravens fucked up. They threw it out to the fans, and of course fans are going to act like
that. Oh, yeah. Come on. When does any NFL team ever go to the fans? Should we do this? Should we sign this play? They never, ever do that. What is that? That's just ridiculous.
The Browns let that stupid idiot, the fat guy with the fucking dog mask, come in their offices and talk to him about shit.
I know. Yeah, they just to appease
him. That's the Browns.
Just to appease him. It was basically like going to the whole Browns Nation. I'm sorry, I know I called it Nation. They went to a town hall meeting. It was like a town hall meeting, so they could be heard, and it meant nothing. Look at the Browns. Nothing. It obviously it meant nothing.
And you know what? I said, do you want to be the Browns like a joke? And then I realized I'm talking about the Ravens. And, hey, they used to be the Browns.
That's right. Okay, so anyway, on to Carson Wentz. All right, so these are two fans from up in North Dakota, which is where he played college ball. And I know they won. They were just ridiculous. There was like a dynasty with him. And so these two fans who love Carson Wentz, says it was a husband and wife, right? They're married. It's a married couple.
Yeah, elderly couple.
Yeah, and so they go to Philadelphia for a preseason game to see their boy Carson Wentz.
They're going to training camp.
Yeah. They went to training camp. Yeah, I mean, they're getting the whole experience, you know.
Yeah.
And they're so emotional about being in Philly to see Carson Wentz play as an Eagle. They wish they could have him in North Dakota forever. But here they are getting all emotional as they're talking to somebody in the media about this.
It's awesome to be included in all this stuff. Excuse me. It's just great. It's, I guess, a dream. Once in a lifetime, maybe.
It's just awesome.
What made it so awesome?
Just being here. Being away from North Dakota for us to be here. It's just great.
And to get to see Carson Wentz?
Yes, he's awesome. Such a role model for our kids and grandkids.
Oh, Jesus Christ, once in a lifetime. Dude, it's Philly. Every airline goes there.
And it's training camp.
Shit. They do it every fucking August. All you gotta do is get on the goddamn tractor in the middle of July or so and start riding. By the time you get to any airport that's close by, you can get there.
Jesus.
I'm just so happy to be included in all of this.
The woman, I think, was really, I think, I couldn't tell if she was more happy to see Carson Wentz or more happy to be out of North Dakota.
Oh, gosh, look, Henry, it's a tree and another tree right next to it.
With leaves.
There's people. Look, there must be five or six of them. Look how many of these buildings ain't barns, Henry. I wonder how different the air smells to them in Philadelphia. Probably smells awful.
The air is thin as a fat bitch, okay? The air is thinner than a motherfucking bitch that's suffering from malnutrition that ain't ate fruit in six fucking weeks, okay?
We haven't dropped for everything.
Niggas will be gasping for air.
All right, so anyway, let's move on here to, he's not in the Hall of Fame yet. We're going to get to the Hall of Fame here in a second, but I wanted to mention somebody who has decided to retire is Vince.
You think he's going into the Hall?
Vince Wilfork. Well, you tell me. I mean, this guy, he was first round pick 2004, 21st overall by the Patriots. By the way, the Patriots got that pick. when they drafted Vince Wilfork, the pick they used to take him, they got in a trade with the Ravens. They gave the Ravens Kyle Baller.
Kyle Baller. And the smartest man in the world picked him because he could throw the ball 60 yards from his knee. Remember?
Yep.
That's what he said. He can throw the ball 60 yards from his knees, so when they change the rules and he's allowed to play from his knees, we will dominate the league.
Well, in his prime, Vince was playing everywhere on the line, and he was one of the most dominant run stuffers I've ever seen play live in front of me. 13 years in the NFL, 5 Pro Bowls and 2 Super Bowl rings. And to top it off, John, to top it off, I remember he was on his way home after the Patriots beat the Colts one Sunday.
Right.
And there was a traffic accident. A woman rolled her car over and she was trapped in the car. He's on his way home from playing a game against the Colts.
Right.
He stops and he manages to rescue her and get her out of that car. Now, this guy is a fucking Hall of Famer.
I agree. I think you're right. I think he's a Hall of Famer even without the rescuing the lady story.
Yep.
The only thing I kind of acted surprised is because it's going to be kind of a largely overlooked position. You know, interior linemen, they don't get seen very
much. But you know what? He played defensive end at times, too, on both sides. He played all up and down that line in his prime. I was looking at his stats. He had left defensive end, right defensive end, left defensive tackle, right defensive tackle, and nose tackle. He was listed at all these positions in various years, all the different spots he played.
Well, then I agree with you. They put a fucking kicker in this year and a punter in last year, so anything's possible.
I don't know if he's going to be first ballot, but he should be in the hall, I think. I just think he should be in the hall. This year's class, like you said, we had a kicker, Morton Anderson. He played for the Saints, Falcons, Giants, Chiefs, and Vikings for 25 years. Jesus.
Right.
1982 to 2007. And then Kenny Easley got in. He only played 6 years. I was going to say, did anybody play a shorter career and get in the Hall of Fame than Terrell Davis? But Kenny Easley only played 6 years, and he got in this year.
And Gale Sayers didn't play for very long.
He was 7, you know, right? I thought he was 7 years, Sayers.
Now you were gonna play something from Vince Wilfork, and we got all off.
Oh
track
God! I said oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. I don't know. He did his retirement announcement, and he did this strange ad. It was his retirement announcement ad, and here it is.
No more cleats. I'm moving on to smoke meats, fellas. Peace out. I'm out of here. Later. Thought it was over, huh? Nah, I'll be back, but not on that field. Peace out.
And man, that's it.
That's some aggressively annoying music.
It's not like a college marching band.
I guess.
You know.
I guess. He might have had one marching up his gut. He's working on some smoked meats.
What the heck is he talking about?
Probably going to open a barbecue joint. I'd eat there.
Right?
Fuck yeah. If Vince Wilfork said these ribs are good, you're damn straight I'm going to have some.
Okay, so.
Man knows.
Terrell Davis, Broncos, 95 to 2001, and Kenny Easley, safety for the Seahawks from 1981 to 87. Then you got Jason Taylor, great defensive end, played for the Dolphins, your Redskins, and the Jets from 97 to 2011. I didn't realize he played 14 years.
Yeah, well, he missed it. He missed a year, and then he missed another almost a full year when he was with Washington. So it might seem like he didn't.
He still played 12 years then, even played.
Yeah, he had a hell of a career.
Yeah. Of course, running back LaDainian Tomlinson played Chargers and the Jets from 2001 to 2011. Seemed like he played more than 10 years.
That seems about right.
Yeah. And we had Kurt Warner, quarterback, Rams, Giants, Cardinals, 98, 2009. Of course, greatest show on turf with the Rams. Came out of nowhere, won Super Bowl.
Former bagger down at the Piggly Wiggly. I hear he's on their Wall of Fame.
He talks about that in his speech about being at the grocery store and working out every day. He talked about it. He lifted
cans of Hi-C.
He was actually what he was doing was working night stocking shelves is what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, our wonderful owner, Jerry Jones, of the Dallas Cowboys.
I tell you something. That guy that cut my hair before this goddamn Hall of Fame speech, I had him killed. I don't know what the hell he was smoking, but good grief. He looked like he cut my hair with a T-square.
Oh, Jesus. All right, well, I got a couple clips here I want to play of Jerry.
All right.
Let me play these, because this is good. He's talking about when he decided he was going to buy the Dallas Cowboys, when he found out and decided and what he was doing. This is just really good. I mean, because you wonder how things happen, and this is great.
I thought about it every day. I aspired to be in the NFL. In 1988, I was on a fishing trip with my son in Mexico, and for some reason, the next morning I got up, I was feeling pretty rough. I don't know why, but I was drinking a lot of coffee, and I was reading the paper when I learned that the Dallas Cowboys were for sale. I found a phone in the lobby, and I got someone on the other end of the connection, and I said, "You don't know me from Adam. My name is Jerry Jones. And if I live to make it back to the United States, I'm going to buy the Dallas Cowboys." Hangover be damned.
Hangover be damned. See, everybody thinks when we talk to Jerry and he talks about going down to Mexico and partying his ass off, they think it's all made up. But there you go. He just talked. He was in Mexico. He was hungover. Come on. There's Jerry for you.
I just like the fact that he just called some random person from Mexico.
I got him. I got the other person on the connection. He said,
"Some guy from Oklahoma. Hello. I think you. What? You're gonna do who? What?"
Oh, wait, hey, what? Oh, he just gotta come and butt into everything.
"I have arrived, Tom."
Yeah, I know. I can tell.
"Everyone must bow down and genuflect. Otherwise, I don't feel as if anything has been accomplished."
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
"I have come to thee with tidings of great joy, Tom." Yes. "For football season is nigh upon us once more."
Yes, it is, God.
"And it is good. And I bring divine heavenly congratulations to you and your blasphemous heathen partner on your 300th episode of your cute little podcast."
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
"Now pay attention to me."
Okay. What? What? I'm right in the middle of a show here.
"I am not made to wait. I am not used to waiting."
Well, what do you want?
Well, I guess I can have a soda while you finish up whatever it is you're doing. But I wanted to come down and talk about the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame is a very important night to me. I get so much attention, so much praise. I have to take a nap before the Hall of Fame. Otherwise, I'll never make it through.
Well, we were actually just talking about the Hall of Fame and Jerry Jones getting inducted.
"I know you were. I am God, and I know all."
All right, calm down. Jeez. Okay, well, look, I just got one more clip to play from Jerry, so could you just sit down for one second? No, I assume I'm...
"Is there Dr. Pepper in the machine in the hall?"
There certainly is.
"I knew that!"
God damn it,
it got wet in here all of a sudden.
Man, he knew we were going to talk about Kurt Warner, and he can't help himself. He's got to come in. He just does it every time.
You'd think he'd have enough.
Oh, good. There you go. Okay, you got your Dr. Pepper. Now just have a seat for just a moment, and we'll get to Kurt Warner.
I'm sorry. Was I supposed to say something? I was trying to talk, but it didn't work.
Okay. All right. So, John, here's one more clip from Jerry. And right, this was pretty cool because this is about one of the people in the world of football that meant the most to him. Wait till you hear who this is.
"One of the persons who has been so special in my life and who loves this game more than anyone I've ever known."
He's going to talk about me, isn't he?
"John Madden. There's no man I respect more for his love of this sport."
Well, if you would stay quiet, you would have heard him say John Madden.
"His belief in the virtues of what football stands for, no one believes it more than John Madden. John was enshrined here in the Hall of Fame in 2006. On that day, as he always did, John held his audience in the palm of his hand. He talked about how when they turn out the lights tonight in the hall, the bus talked to each other. Many of you may remember it. John, I know you're watching. I love you. Tonight, when they turn out the lights in the hall, I can't wait to look over and talk to you and tell you how much you mean to me." Thank you, John.
Huh. That was nice, wasn't it?
I suppose.
All right.
I don't recall him saying anything about me.
Well, not in that particular clip. No, he spoke for 37 minutes, though. That was just one of them.
Tell me about it. I couldn't stay awake. I was ready to fall asleep.
Jeez. All right. So here is Kurt Warner thanking. I think he's going to thank you.
Well, we're going to find out, aren't we?
And he saved this, okay? He didn't bring up anything to do with religion. It was all about football, but his grand finale. Well, here you go.
To the one whom, without a doubt, has left the deepest mark and has become the cornerstone of my life. In the early stage of my career, I had a chance to stand at a podium similar to this in front of millions of people after Super Bowl 34. In that moment, I made sure the first thing I did was say thank you to this person for what they had done for me. Now, many felt I was thanking him for orchestrating a Super Bowl win or making my passes fly straighter.
Now, you hear right there, Tom. He starts off talking about a person who makes his passes fly straighter and helps him win. And I thought, he can't really be talking about Dick Vermeil, right? I mean, right?
Right.
The hell, Tom. That guy's got, he seems like he's all cookies and milk. But let me tell you, he's got a stack of Norwegian scat porn you wouldn't believe.
Or causing my opponents to make more mistakes.
All right. Now, what is up with that, God? Do you make some players make mistakes?
Well, shit, I guess the cat's out of the bag now, isn't it? I knew that idiot couldn't keep his mouth shut. All right, damn it, listen, it's true. Hey, I got the Packers in six. You know what I'm saying, Tom? Little sunshine in the Viking safety's eye, little extra breeze on a field goal, and the Holy Ghost is in the money, baby! All right. Besides, the fact is, I just don't like some of you. Fuck the Cleveland Browns! Hear me, Tom? While I am in charge, there shall be no Super Bowl in Philadelphia or Cleveland. Cleveland is a dump, and Philadelphia is full of Italian Catholics. Good grief, they stay in fucking church all day. Look, wrap it up, I got things to do. Anyway, let's get back to the praise.
Oh my gosh, all right, here we go.
But those people had it all wrong. The gesture was my way of acknowledging how fortunate I considered myself for the moments he had given me. Thanking him for the trials, which prepared me for this platform. For showing me that with him, the impossible becomes possible.
Yeah, there you go. That's more like it right there, Tom. And by the way, you know he's talking about his wife's tits, right? Listen, out of everything, out of all of it, all of his whole life, that's all he ever wanted was just some big old bouncy tits. Everyone loves tits, so saith the Lord.
Whatever you say. All right, let's continue.
And for choosing me as the lead in this once-in-a-lifetime role. Now, love it or hate it, that opening scene captured the imagination of the sports world, and the words became the heart of my story. The rest, as they say, is history.
All right, let me ask you this, guy. What do you think of that? Because, well, this is something that always crosses my mind. I mean, we love football and all, but in terms of, you know, like, I mean, real actual history, you must know these accomplishments are so small compared to, you know, these amazing events that we've had throughout history, you know, discovering electricity, all this modern medicine, we were on the moon, the wheel. I mean, just all of that stuff, more significant than some guy throwing a football, right?
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I was still thinking about Brenda Warner's tits. They are bodacious! And the fact that they're false means they're just a little slutty, too, don't you think?
All right.
Bringing us to this, the famous last words. And the only place this extraordinary journey can end. You know, his final moment was for me. Mine is for him. Thank you, Jesus.
And there it is, Tom. Thanks be unto me for Super Bowls, Hall of Fame, and tits.
Wait a minute. He thanked Jesus, not you.
We're all one and the same. It's kind of hard to explain. It's a whole fucked up thing, Tom. I gotta be honest with you. The fact is, there was a nice patch right behind Mesopotamia down there, and I was growing a patch of magic mushrooms. Everything was my fault, really. I was going to use them for a party, and then some humans found them, got all sorts of wild ideas, and suddenly I'm my own son or my own father. I'm making it rain for 40 days, and walking on water, turning women to salt, healing lepers, turning fishes into... Well, I did turn the fishes into loot. They were tripping. I figured I'd give them a show. Oh, well. Live and learn!
Wait.
Tom, I just have one more thing I want to say.
Okay.
Ray Lewis, quit bothering me about Colin Kaepernick! I've just had about enough of it. You should pray I make him recognize the weak side blitz quicker. I have spoken!
Okay. He's gone.
I don't know what the hell's going on in here, man. The lights keep flashing.
He makes me jumpy.
I guess so. He's a vengeful son of a bitch. He said so right off the bat.
He'll get so loud, just so quick, and that thunder all of a sudden, I feel like a friggin' chihuahua.
People should elect him president.
He's going to run. If he wants to be president, he'll just plop down here and go, hey, Donald, out of my chair. You know what I mean?
You know what Donald will say.
Wait a minute. I thought I was you.
You know, I heard this from many people. I mean, even you said the length of the speeches was getting ridiculous, but at the same time, and you know, maybe it is ridiculous, but to me, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because this is, I mean, if football is your life and you spend your entire career in the game and around right. the game and you make it to that place, man, you
You're
know
immortal.
What? Talk as long as you want, dude. Take as long as you need to say what you want to say. That's right. the way I feel about it.
And me too. I completely agree.
I listened to every bit of every speech, and I thought they were all fascinating. I really did.
I didn't, because I got bored with them. Honest to God, I don't give a shit who your junior, middle, high school fucking coach was.
Oh, I know. But, I mean, I think that's part of it. You know, when you get into the Hall of Fame, you get to know the person.
Sure, I guess.
So, but anyway, Peter King, well, he has decided, no, we will not have this. He was on Rich Eisen's show.
I just think that the Pro Football Hall of Fame has got to get a handle on the length of these speeches. You know, these speeches ought to be 20 or 22 minutes long. You cannot thank every football coach you've ever had in your life. You can't thank every person who's done something for you in your life.
Now, you know, it's funny because sure. he's saying this, and when he says that, he's talking about Jerry. He's got to be, because Jerry did thank everybody on the planet. And Jerry had the longest speech at 37 minutes. And the thing that was funny about that is that Jerry specifically, when he was thanking people who helped make the NFL what it is today, part of that thanks he made to the media, and he specified Peter King.
Well, Peter King must have been in the bathroom at that time.
Well, Peter King... You know what? You're right. Jerry Jones should not have thanked you. That's what I think.
You know what? Fuck him anyway. What did he say? Did you play it? I'm sorry. I'm kind of all in and out of here.
I didn't finish it yet.
Oh, all right.
I'm sorry. You just can't do that. I mean, it's time for the Hall of Fame to set a hard and fast limit. I think 20 or 22 minutes is plenty.
Oh,
I love the Hall of Fame, but they got to do something about this.
Why do they have to do something about this? Because you are inconvenienced? Is that the problem? Because 20 to 22 minutes. Peter King, ladies and gentlemen, has decided for everybody how long your Hall of Fame speech should be. You know what? Don't watch, Peter King. If you don't want to cover it, don't go cover it. You know?
Yeah. Give it to some schlep. You know what? Turn it off if you're watching on TV and you get bored with it. Turn it off. I do. I flip through about five or six different things while they're talking. And then I come back and I look at it. But, you know,
I don't like it. So they have to take the biggest moment of their entire lives, the moment they become immortal, and make it so it's something I like.
Fuck him.
Well, I mean, and
turn it off.
Look, you know what? If there was no media there, that speech would happen the same way. They are not
That's
doing
right.
this for you, Peter King. This is not for the media. If you don't want, it's completely up to every media outlet on the planet to cover whatever the hell they want to cover. And then you're going to show up and cover it and say, well, I want this changed. Well, fuck you. Go home. Tough.
That's right. If I want to thank Rodrigo, who runs the goddamn parking lot in the back end of goddamn Texas Stadium, I'll thank Rodrigo, who runs the goddamn parking lot in the back end of Texas Stadium.
All right. Ha, 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 ha.
I'll flash it on the bottom of my goddamn $85 million helicopter, you big fat double lord.
Jesus Christ. Peter King, you know what happens? He sits around watching this with Bob Costas, and that's why he feels it's too long, because he has to sit there with Bob Costas.
As you're listening to Jerry Jones pontificate all about his wildly successful career here, Peter, what are the thoughts running through your mind? I'll tell you what they should be. One, number one should be...
Oh, no.
Set against the backdrop of Canton, Ohio's working-class neighborhoods.
Rhythmic slap, slap, slapping sounds.
Oh, we had to go putting that in there. College football in like 3 weeks, right?
Yeah. All right. Don't get me off track here, because we got to get excited, John.
We are?
Yep. Because in the Super Bowl, we've been asking for a great halftime show.
We have? Oh.
And guess what? We ain't getting one.
Nope. Nope, we ain't getting one.
Oh, my God. She was already there. All right, so
you know what this is right now? What we should call this segment? Halftime of the Patriots game. Oh, please, are you really going to do this to everybody? They listen to us because they know this is garbage.
We have some girls listening, and they're bouncing around right now.
So is Tilly. Let's go.
My sister is 40 years old, and she loves Britney Spears like you would not believe, goes to see her concert every time she's anywhere near here.
Well, hello, Tom's sister. How are you?
Well, Britney made it clear, and this is funny because this will tell you that she was on some, you know, because she was in the 2001 Super Bowl halftime show.
Right, with Aerosmith and Run DMC.
No, it was Aerosmith and NSYNC and Mary J. Blige and Nelly, and they all did Walk This Way together.
Okay. I forgot. Run DMC was probably one of the bands that didn't come.
Well, they were there at some point with somebody. But that anyway, here's the thing.
For that show.
Here's the thing is she's there performing at the halftime show of the Super Bowl. And I'm guessing she was on some drugs back then because she said she made it very clear that it's her dream to perform at the Super Bowl.
It is my dream to do something the second time. Even though I would like to forget that first one, because whoever dreamed up that conglomerate mess is a ridiculous fool, and Steven Tyler wouldn't stop looking down my top.
Well, she probably wants the stage to herself. She wants to headline and play multiple songs. She wants to do what Katy Perry and Beyonce did, you know what I mean?
I guess, which means make me turn the channel. That's what she wants to do.
Well, this is not confirmed, but that's what's out there right now.
That's terrible.
So, now, if you want some real entertainment, we can move on to this.
For best breakthrough athlete.
It's Mr. Prescott.
For record-breaking performance.
Michael Phelps.
The ESPY for best moment goes to the Chicago Cubs.
For the best game.
The Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl.
It is my lifetime honor to present the Icon Award to the incomparable Vin Scully.
For best play.
Aaron Rodgers.
And here tonight to accept the Arthur Ashe Award for Courage on behalf of Eunice Kennedy Shriver, her son, Tim Shriver.
For best female athlete.
Simone Biles.
For best male athlete.
Russell Westbrook.
For best team.
Oh, God. Please don't let it be them. Don't let it be them. Don't let it be them.
It's not them. Okay, Golden State Warriors.
You didn't like any of that.
I can't stand the ESPYs. I think there's nothing more pretentious. Look, you're athletes. You won fucking trophies or medals, or you didn't, okay? To sit here and have one of these pat-yourself-on-the-back masturbation sessions, I hate awards shows. I really do.
All right. Well, geez.
Unless we're nominated.
Well,
I'm talking about your People's Choice Awards.
Yeah, we're on here. We were nominated for an award for a podcast award show, and we were on here. You were on here asking everybody to vote for you. You wanted to win it, and now you're telling me, I hate the award show.
It's just the most for the most popular game that everybody watched and didn't realize what was going to happen in the fourth quarter. The winner is
The Patriots over the Falcons in the Super Bowl. Wow! Who gives a fucking shit? What the hell does that even mean?
Well, that doesn't matter. The winner for the best game is what did Dick say? I mean, come on.
That's right. What did Dick say? And that didn't even get nominated.
All right, but we did get to see Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning thought he was still at the roast because he decided to roast people when he got up on stage. Listen to this.
Okay. I know what some of y'all are thinking, right? John Cena hosted the ESPYs last year, and he's an athlete.
Nope.
Yeah. John Cena is an athlete the same way that Ryan Lochte is a reliable witness.
Okay. Holy shit.
Unfortunately, my brother Eli can't be here tonight because that's what I told the folks at the door.
I could see Eli outside, but I think I got a ticket around here. Supposed to be here for best interception fights.
That's great.
I'm nominated. Look, I'm nominated for best interception fights.
And I know in my heart the Falcons will be back, right? The Falcons will be back. And I want the Falcons to hear that from me now, at the beginning of the show, because I know they'll stop paying attention three quarters of the way in.
Oh.
That the Final Five won the most Olympic medals of any U.S. women's gymnastics team ever. And our gymnastics team was so dominant that Kevin Durant told me he wants to play for them next year.
Oh, that was good. And you know what?
He was not happy.
No, Durant was not smiling. He did not think that was funny at all. And that's what,
was like,
that made it even better.
He said, who is that? They told me it was Peyton Manning, but he ain't got no big red spot on his forehead.
Who that boy? Who him is? That's a rap song, by the way.
Thank you for telling me, because otherwise I was about to get all offended.
It's a new rap song. It's called Who That Boy.
Who that boy? Who him is? Who that boy? Who him is? Who that boy? Who him is?
Who him is? Him is Jameis Winston.
I tell you what, just early thoughts, man. I'm thinking that the Tampa Bay is going to have quite an offense.
I'll tell you what, I was watching Hard Knocks, and I noticed that when they show the sign that leads to the quarterback's room, it also says quarterbacks in Braille. And I thought,
wait, what?
Hmm. All right. And on Hard Knocks, they're showing the outside of the quarterback's room, and there's a sign on the wall that says quarterbacks. And then right underneath it says quarterbacks in Braille.
Are you serious?
Yes. I'm thinking, this seems to not. Who the fuck's going in there that's blind?
I don't understand.
Maybe it's a coach that's blind. He's pointing at the ceiling. You're supposed to throw it there, you see? That's where it's supposed to go.
I can't even wrap my head around that. Wait a minute. What?
I guess I don't know. The quarterback's room, the sign also says it in Braille.
No, I know, and I just can't understand why.
Maybe there's some kind of statute down in Florida that says you got to make sure that everybody's accessible, or they have a blind housekeeper, or Jameis Winston can't see. I don't know. I think he can see.
All right. Well, anyway.
He is an old country boy, though.
So, there's the ESPY Awards. Now, you know, the Cubs won the World Series last year, and well, they got their ring, and they just actually got their rings. They just got right. their championship rings. And dude, they gave a ring, one of the championship rings that all the players got. One right. of them went to Steve Bartman.
I don't know why. I really don't get why they would do this.
Well, here's their statement.
On behalf of the entire Chicago Cubs organization, we are honored to present a 2016 World Series championship ring to Mr. Steve Bartman. We hope this provides closure on an unfortunate chapter of the story that has perpetuated throughout our quest to win a long-awaited World Series. While no gesture can fully lift the public burden he's endured for more than a decade, we felt it was important Steve knows he has been and continues to be fully embraced by this organization. After all he sacrificed, we are proud to recognize Steve Bartman with this gift today.
How about that?
He sacrificed? Wait a minute. I think that the Cubs don't know what a sacrifice is, and I can't say that because they just won the World Series. They obviously do. But seriously, he sacrificed by sticking his hand out and fucking up your chances of doing this 10 years earlier?
I don't think that's what she's talking about. It's been 14 years, believe it or not. But I think right. I think the sacrifice was all the shit he has had to put up with.
Well, it's not a sacrifice. It's not like he did it willingly so that the Cubs could win the freaking World Series 14 years later. I will lift the curse. The
I know. Told me. I know. But
I mean, it's nice of him, but I don't get
well,
it.
They talked to some fans, and I was amazed because I didn't think there was a Cub fan on earth that didn't hate this guy with every bone in their body, but people have changed. Listen to this one.
He deserved it for what he went through. That was unnecessary. That was low class by our long-suffering fans, and he deserves it.
How about that, man? He thought what happened to him was terrible.
Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't have subjected him to anything even if I was a Cubs fan, but I certainly don't. I still don't understand why they're giving him a ring. Right. He fucked it all up for him.
Here's another fan.
I was right. angry at him, too, at first, but then I would have done the same thing probably. So.
And then here's another one.
I think he should get a World Series ring.
Yeah.
I think he's gotten a lot of pressure and a lot of bad press, all of that, which I don't think necessarily should have happened.
I think it's pretty impressive they were able to track him down.
Oh, he became a celebrity. I mean,
I thought he was in the witness protection program.
Well, he might want to think about it because then you listen to this fan.
I think he should have been burned at the stake. Never forgive, never forget.
I think he should have been burned at the stake. Never forgive, never forget. Oh, my God. Yeah. Dude. This wasn't the Twin Towers. What are you talking about? You burn him at the stake. Well, he's a witch.
Hey, you burn him at the stake, you draw him and quarter him, you hang him. Some sort of public execution that we can bring the kids to.
Oh, my God.
Some kind of family thing, you know.
All right, so we talked about the great game, What Did Dick Say?
Right.
We're going to play a new game this week, and this is more for right. John Tillyard than anybody else. Tillyard, pay attention, man, because this one is for you.
My little pony, my little pony, isn't the world a lovely place? My little pony, my little pony, everywhere you go, a smiling face. Running and skipping,
we want to say hello to all the little pony heads out there that are joining us just because celebrity John Tillyard is here. Tillyard.
I'm gonna quiz you, John, because I mentioned this to you on the phone and you started laughing really hard and I thought, we're going to play.
All right, well, because you got to remember, too, I have no idea about My Little Pony whatsoever. I've never bothered to even try to get into this or to understand why there's all these things called bronies. I've never watched it. I couldn't care less.
By preparing to do this game with you, I actually learned some things about My Little Pony.
Oh,
and
really?
Uh,
are we a budding brony here?
No. That's what I was going to tell you. I can assure you that this will not be me.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to disparage any bronies out there. I'm just saying I'm not going to be one.
And you know, right now, because Tillyard did our 300th anniversary introduction, there are bronies listening to us as we speak.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So here's what we're going to play.
Okay.
Pony or porn star?
Okay. I will say I don't know anything about ponies.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a name.
Okay.
I just give you the name, and you tell me, is it a porn star? Or is it, and that if it's a porn star, it's going to be a real porn star's name. Or is it a pony? Meaning, is it the name of one of the ponies from My Little Pony?
What if it's a porn star that does pony movies? What if she's from the Donkey Show down in Tijuana? Do I get extra credit?
You're going to have to, I won't know that if you tell me it is. Maybe we can call Jerry Jones for confirmation on that. I don't know. But
fishing.
we'll figure that out if we come to that situation.
Fishing down in Mexico.
Okay, so if you're right, you'll hear this. If you're wrong, you'll hear this.
The buzzer.
Let's get you some dramatic thinking music here.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right, being cerebral.
First name. Maddie Meadows.
That's a porn star.
Wow. You knew who that was, didn't you?
I think.
Maddie Meadows, great-looking performer. Who should be better known? She's been taking her time and easing into it, going from nude modeling to girl-girl action and now finally to boy-girl action.
I didn't realize we were going to get bios.
Yes, yes.
Are we being sponsored by Vivid Video or something?
No. No, okay. We're just doing a great show, John. Can't you just not pull the curtain all the way down? I mean, come on. All right. How about Vanessa Blue?
That's a pony. Oh, no, really?
In fact, she's dubbed one of the greatest Ebony XXX performers of all time.
Oh. She's been dubbed this. What is it, like some kind of the queen? I dub the queen of the anals.
All right. You're 1-1.
Okay.
All right. How about Sassy Saddles?
Oh, that's got to be a freaking pony, I would hope.
Sassy?
Christ, I don't want to know what kind of a movie Sassy Saddles might make.
Sassy Saddles. Final answer?
That's a pony. Hey!
Yes. Yes, it is.
Tilliard's like, it's a pony! It's a pony! I know! It's a pony!
How about Pinkie Pie?
All right, I'm gonna have to flip the old coin on that one and say porn star. Oh no, I would think she would be in some lesbian movies.
Oh no, Pinkie Pie is a pink earthy pony summarized as a frenetic sugar rush. She is a live-in party planner at Sugar Cube Corner, a bakery and confectionery store in Ponyville.
Really?
Yes.
That sounds like a lesbian to me.
John Tilliard right now is going, oh, listen, Tom, he knows. He did his research.
He probably sent you crib notes.
Oh, I forgot to mention, Sassy Saddles, she is the unicorn manager of Canterlot Carousel, which is the boutique that belongs to Rarity. And obviously, I'm not going to give you Rarity now, because now you know Rarity's a pony, and that just would have messed that up, so...
Well, I gotta say, I'm kind of disappointed that Sassy Saddles is not a porn star.
What about Star Swirl?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You know, I did not realize that saying these names would be just as funny as playing the What Did Dick Say lines without even having an answer. Without even having an answer, it's fantastic. Star Swirl.
Star Swirl. Well, let's see. I would think that might be somebody specializing in analingus. So I'm going to say porn star. Star Swirl and Sally Saddles would make a great fucking pair.
Star Swirl.
Oh, god damn it. Melt your computer.
Star Swirl is actually a male unicorn and historical figure.
I'm sticking by with what I said. Oh, shit.
Star Swirl is a unicorn and historical figure in the series. He is described as a archetypal wizard with a prominent beard similar to Merlin.
He's that pony with his nose up your ass all the time.
Right. All right. How about Little Caprice?
That's a porn star.
Yes.
I think.
Little Caprice, another head turner. From the Czech Republic, when you think perfect girlfriend, Caprice probably would come to mind.
Perfect girlfriend, other than the fact that she's doing all this porn.
Oh, man.
You know, honey, you'd be great if it wasn't for you fucking all these guys all day.
All right, you are 3-3.
Oh, hot dang, I'm feeling like the Eagles.
All right, how about Apple Bloom?
See, this goes right back to Star Swirl. It could be almost the same.
I know.
Yeah.
I used to get $5 for the apple bloom.
That's a pony.
What's that?
It's got to be a pony.
Yes, a yellow earth pony, filly with red hair and a pink hair bow, and named for being named for being full of potential and having a lot of growing to do. A feisty girl with a sarcastic streak.
Lesbian.
Oh, now John Tillyard's getting mad. You can't do that.
Either that or I'm fulfilling all his fantasies for him. I thought the same thing. I thought, look at her. She needs it back.
That's Apple Bloom. What about Apple Jack?
Apple Jack?
Yes.
All right, that's the name of a really shit whiskey, so I'm going to go ahead and say that's a real trashy porn star. Oh, no.
It's also the name of a fun orange fruit breakfast cereal, so...
It's the alcoholic pony.
It's an orange blonde-haired earth pony characterized as a farm gal. Oh, we got a farmer's daughter. Daughter pony, John. Sports a cowboy hat and lasso, speaks with a southern accent, and she works as an apple farmer at the Sweet Apple Acres Orchard in Ponyville.
Woo! Definitely a lesbian. The farmer's daughter. Oh. This could be a porn movie that you could make right there. Tillyard's probably going, oh, there's several. Let me give you some titles.
All right. What about, let's see, how many? So now you're 4-4.
All right.
All right. What about Gracie Glam?
That's got to be, that's a porn star.
Yes. A born leader, John, with extraordinary drive and determination, insisting on her right to make up her own mind, she demands freedom of thought and action.
I said, give me the double penetration, and I mean it. Jesus Christ, these things. Who writes these fucking things?
Oh, man. Let's see. How about Hoity Toity?
No, I don't even want to think about what kind of movie that could be. Oh, let's see. That's a pony. Hot dang, I'm sticking at 500 here.
Yeah, an earth pony fashion guru who gives make or break critiques to designers.
Oh, make or break critiques from this pony.
All right, 1, 2, 3.
If it tasted more like grass, it would be better.
What about Sweetie Belle?
That's a pony.
Oh, damn.
Oh, hot damn, I've pulled ahead. You did. Ponies have pulled ahead.
Yeah, I'll give you this one, but you'll get it right. Oh, Sweetie Belle, by the way, is a unicorn filly with a white coat and lavender and pink striped mane, and she has a blossoming talent for singing, and she wants to be a fashion designer.
Oh.
And I'm guessing...
She's liberated. Lesbian.
And Hoity Toity will tell her if she's any good or not.
Right.
All right, one more. This is the last one.
All right.
Scarlet Flo.
God.
And that's that.
Why is it that when I hear this name and I think it might be a porn star, I picture the most disgusting movie that this name could make? That one is bad. Jesus Christ. What is it? Red Wings 9 starring Scarlet Flo.
All right. You know that's a porn star. You know it. And there you go. Pony or porn star. Woo-hoo.
It was a fun game.
My little pony, everywhere you go, a smiling face. Oh, so yeah. That related because of John Tillyard in this show.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had to make all the bronies feel at home because they came over here to listen to Tillyard's introduction, and some of them stuck around all the way to the end. So welcome, bronies.
We're way over time, but I forgot we have some email.
Oh, we do have a few emails. Let's say we've got one here from Pete Sedorn from Bristol, England. Just want to say congrats on getting your 300 shows and thanks for all the great laughs you've given us over the years. Looking forward to more crazy shit from this upcoming season. Well, I hope the porn stars and ponies fit the bill there, Pete, because that was pretty fucking crazy. All right, from Michael Giuliano, I just went back and listened to the April podcast, and at the end of the episode, you mentioned a $100 donation will get a brick with their name on it on our wall of fame. Please let me know when the unveiling with that would be, because I would like to be there in person, and it will be a long drive from Toronto. Michael Giuliano did indeed donate $100 and made all of you look pretty freaking cheap in comparison. But as far as the Wall of Fame goes, look, we're talking to Mexico now. We're in negotiations right now. Things should be smoothed out pretty soon. We'll get that squared away. All right, long-time listener Henry Chance, looking forward to another season of on-point commentary like ponies and porn stars. your recent Best Of show reminded this frustrated Philly fan what it was like to dreaming about the Eagles winning a Duper Bowl. Here's a small donation. Thank you very much. You gave us $20. Thank you very much for saying thanks for the good time in lieu of all of my hopes and prayers. Let's see.
Yeah, we had because of Deshaun, the Duper Bowl. Yeah,
the Duper Bowl. We will win a Duper Bowl.
The Eagles will get a Duper Bowl. We're going to the hood.
What are you? Brain damage? We had another Eagle fan from last year. Look at that guy, the Mook.
Oh, By the way,
Henry also says there's a football book coming out by Mark Pendergrass titled "The Most Hated Man in America." Alas, it is not about Roger Goodell.
Oh.
But he does not tell us who it's about, so what the fuck, man?
Yeah, who's it about?
Jesus. Leave us hanging like that. All right, over on our Facebook page, Daniel Almagy said show 300 was about to lay down the facts, F-A-C-K-S.
F-A-C-K, fact.
Apparently, longtime listener and crack appliance salesman Ben Boyce sold Eagles head coach Doug Peterson appliance. There's a picture of him on our Facebook page with Doug Peterson and I guess a washing machine. I don't know. Because he didn't say what sort of appliance it was, so I'm just going to assume it was a General Electric industrial butt plug that we will watch vibrate Mr. Peterson right to his 6-10 record.
Doug fucking Peterson!
Right. Let's see. Officer John Henry has requested that Ben Roethlisberger recite a poem.
Let me see here. Okay. Roses are red and violets are not. Fuck Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Roethlisberger!
All right. And over on Twitter, which you can follow us at Bang Radio Hour, official Bang Radio Hour hot lady wrestler Jesse Roberts is picking the Redskins to go 22-1, which I have adjusted from last night's prediction before the preseason loss. And just for our buddy A.E. Eckert, Muck took the food off his plate and ate it. So yeah, if you want to find us at Bang Radio Hour, or go to the Bang Radio Hour Facebook page, or hit us at bangradiohour.com and press that donation button. Michael Giuliano is putting all of you in the dust.
Yeah, and more emails, man. I listening to those old shows, I miss the email segment. I like the email. Yeah. So I love hearing from the listeners, man. I think it's great. I love when they make jokes. I love it all. So send us emails or just post on the Facebook page. Don't forget to get over to ESPN's website. Go to the fantasy section. If you don't have an account there, you got to create an account. It's free. And then go to the fantasy section and join Pigskin Pick'em and the Survival League. Create your entry and then join a group. And you just, when you get to that, type in the bang in the group. The drop-down menu will pop down, and you'll see Bang Radio Hour. And join the group, and we'll play all year, and we'll see who does the best in the pick'em. We'll see who lasts longest in the Survival League, and that's always fun. And we're getting on that early this year to try to get as many people in that as we can. Also want to say welcome back. Welcome back, mybookie.ag.
Hooray. I love sponsors, Tom. I absolutely love sponsors.
We had them on for the playoff run last year. They gave us a trial run. They liked what they heard and what they got out of it. And so they have decided to be our primary sponsor for the entire season. So welcome back, mybookie.ag. And if you guys haven't been there, well, you can go check
it
out
now.
Let's
work on that gambling problem. Come on, people.
But we'll, we'll get more into that. They don't start till the next show, but officially. But I just wanted to mention it, and we'll tell you all about them and how to get in on the deal they got going and all that. So,
you know, you can bet on preseason games. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't waste time.
That's a tough one, man.
I'm just talking to our listeners out there.
I know.
Because there's going to be a hell of a deal from mybookie.ag.
All right. And so we'll be back in just a couple of weeks. And then then we'll have our kickoff show. And then we're every week. So it's back. Football's back.
Yeah, we're cranking up.
And it's starting off pretty shitty for my Cowboys. Oh, God, I mentioned them again. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to do that. All right. Yeah. Okay. We'll do it again next time.
Later.
Who that boy? Who him is? Who that boy? Who him is? Who that boy? Who him is? Who them boy? Who them is? Bang, bang, bang. Yo, yo. Bang, yo, yo. Bang, bang, yo, yo.
And there's Eli with the interception to seal the loss. Very good, Eli.
You've been listening to the Bang Radio Hour.
Mein lieber Schwan hat der einen abgekriegt.
Listen to me.
Bang Radio.
Wait, don't.
I only can control what I can control. I mean, there's not much I can control. It's out of my control now.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
Oh, Troy, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God!
Ain't a whole lot of that shit right there, yo.
You don't have to spend a lot of time kind of circumcising the mosquitoes.